A pleasant evening to you in YouTube land. We're delighted you tuned in tonight and that we can study the Word of God together. We ask that you continue to pray for the elders as they oversee the flock of God here. We ask that you continue to pray for those who are sick, some with the virus and others with other illnesses. And we're mindful of those who are grieving at this time. And we ask that you continue to keep O'Neill in your prayers. And we're mindful of those who might have spiritual needs. If there's any need you may have, if you'll contact one of the elders, Brother Guy McDaniel or myself, we'll be glad to assist you in any way. We sure appreciate Brother McDaniel and the work that he does in the kingdom, and we look forward to hearing him again soon. If you have your Bible, turn for just a moment to the book of John and the first chapter. And when you read the book of God, you'll find and notice that there are certain cities that are stressed. In John 1 and verse 46, you'll remember that Nathanael, when he was told about Jesus coming from Nazareth, raised the question, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And so because this city had a bad name or left a bad impression upon Nathanael, he just assumed that nothing good could come from there. Then think about the city of Jerusalem, that holy city. This is made mention of time and time again in the Word of God. And this was the city that God selected to be the place where the temple would be constructed and built, and the place where God's people would worship. Thus, it's easy to see that many cities are known because of famous events that occurred within them. But this evening, for just a few moments of our time, I want us to look at a small town, one that might seem insignificant. And yet, my friend, when you read the divine revelation, you'll find many great events occurred in this one little town identified as Bethlehem. You can go back in your own time and in your own study and look at David, the mighty warrior, the king of Israel, who came from this small place, and how he rose to great heights in the eyes of God and was known as the man after God's own heart. But for our time this evening, I want us to look at this small town that is just a few miles from Jerusalem and notice that in spite of its smallness, there are some very memorial events that occurred there. First of all, take your Bible and go back to the book of Genesis for just a moment. And I want us to notice that Bethlehem for Jacob was a place of sorrow. And when you look in the book, but you'll note that this man was sorrowful because of what occurred there. Notice that Jacob was a man who loved one identified as Rachel. And most Bible students are familiar with the great love that Jacob had for Rachel. Remember how he worked 7 years for Rachel and Laban deceived him and gave him her sister Leah instead. However, his love for Rachel was so great that in Genesis 29:30, he worked 7 more years for her. And I want you to think about during their lifetime, Rachel and Jacob had 2 sons together. One was identified as Joseph and the other identified as Benjamin. And it was in the giving of the birth of Benjamin that Rachel died. And I'm sure that at this time, Joseph experienced much grief and sorrow as he buried his beloved wife. But take your Bible and look in the book of Genesis and the 35th chapter for just a moment. And when you come to the book of Genesis and the 35th chapter, notice, if you will, a statement in verse 16. Then they journeyed from Bethel, and when there was but a little distance to go to Ephrathah, Rachel labored in childbirth, and she had hard labor. Now it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said to her, "Do not fear, you will have this son also." I want you to take note that she was going to have a son, the Bible said. But notice, my friend, in verse 18, it says, "And so it was as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Ben-Oni, but his father called him Benjamin." So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath. That is Bethlehem. Underscore Bethlehem. Then if you take your Bible, look if you will in the book of Genesis and the 48th chapter. And notice in Genesis chapter 48 that again this is brought to record. Notice if you will that at this time in Genesis chapter 48 that the record records in verse 7 again about Rachel's death. He says, "But as for me, when I came from Paddan, Rachel died beside me in the land of Canaan on the way, when there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath, and I buried her there on the way to Ephrath." That is Bethlehem. So the first thing I want to impress upon my mind and on your mind is that Bethlehem to Jacob was a place of sorrow. It was a place where he buried his wife. It was a place where no doubt that man shed tears and grieved because his wife had died. So let's just look at that place called Bethlehem and notice a place of sorrow. But then secondly, if you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Ruth. And I want you to take note that the city was noted for the scene of one of the most touching love stories ever told to man. It's between Ruth and Boaz. You recall how that Ruth had first married the son of Naomi in the land of Moab. But he died and she stayed with her mother-in-law Naomi. But notice in your Bible, in the book of Ruth and the 4th chapter, where she meets the man identified as Boaz. Look, if you will, in verse 10 and 11. "Moreover, Ruth the Moabite, the widow Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from his position at the gate. You are witnesses this day." And all the people who were at the gate and the elder said, "We are witnesses." Then the Lord made the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel, and may you prosper in Ephrath and be famous in Bethlehem. Now underscore Bethlehem. And I want you to take note, my friend, that here was a place where Ruth and Boaz come together. And these two were happily married, for their love was pure, and above just a physical love or attraction, this was true love. And I want us to understand that is essential for a good marriage. It must be more than just physical attraction. One must have a deep abiding love, a deep abiding love for that whom they will marry. And Bethlehem was the city for this great love. So I've seen two pictures of Bethlehem. I've seen a place of sorrow for Jacob, and then I've seen a place of love for a man named Boaz and a woman named Ruth. But then if you take your Bible, I want us to think about a third picture. And this time I want us to get the picture of joy. And we come to the city of Bethlehem, and we come in our study where there was joy because of the birth of Jesus Christ in that city. Take your Bible and look in the book of Micah, the Old Testament prophet, for just a moment. And when you read the Old Testament prophet, he's prophesying about the coming of Christ and from whence he would be born, and he makes a prophecy about it. In the book of Micah and the 5th chapter, look if you will kindly at verse 2. "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting." Now then, who is that prophesying about? That's a prophesying about the Christ. He's the ruler. But then if you take your Bible, look in the book of Luke in the 2nd chapter. And when you come to the book of Luke in the 2nd chapter, look at verse 4. "Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." Now then, I want us to stop and to think about the joy at the birth of Christ. I want you to think about when you read from the book of Luke, we see it was a day of great joy. The day the Son of God came to earth. The day the King of Kings was born. And you remember the angels came and sang, and the shepherds heard their praise as they said, peace and good tidings on earth and in heaven. Why? Jesus had come. And I'll tell you, he's the one who would build his church, as we read in Matthew 16:18. Now then, I want to take that. I want to make application in the lessons for you. As we look back over this small but outstanding city, we see events that took place, but let us not pass over them without learning some things. First of all, look at Sarah. Just as Jacob experienced sorrow in the city of Bethlehem by burying his beloved wife Rachel, so we will experience the same thing. What sorrow today upon the heart of a person that must stand beside the grave of a loved one and bury them. I've often wondered how on earth people can stand by the grave without having God in their life. It's so difficult for one to understand what it's like to lose a loved one till they go through it. But I'll tell you, my friend, what's even more difficult would be to think about not having God. You know, my friend, you can sorrow, as the Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. We sorrow, all sorrow at death, but we all don't sorrow the same way. He talked about we don't sorrow as those who have no hope. If the loved one died is in Christ, we have hope. But I'll tell you what he said in Ephesians 2:12. You don't want to die without God and without Christ, because then you have no hope. There's no hope for someone who's not in Christ. I've done funerals and I've been there with loved ones and they've not right with God. And I'm not the judge and I leave it to God. But I tell you one thing, my friend. When you go and someone has no faith in God, it stands and stings, because it just hurts to see someone who's not right and ready to meet God die. But what hope when that loved one is ready to meet the Lord? Secondly, what a wonderful lesson of love. And you know, our young people need to understand what marriage is about. Marriage is as serious. We need to understand that God intended for marriage to last a lifetime. Open your Bible and look in the book of Matthew and the 5th chapter. And when you come to the book of Matthew and the 5th chapter, look at what Jesus said in verse 31 and 32. In verse 31, furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Jesus is saying marriage is for life. Now then, we must understand that it is not something that you just fall in love and fall out of love. It is a deep, abiding love. And I want us to understand, my friend, many times we look at the exception and not the rule. The rule is that you have a love for one another. And the love of a husband and wife is a deep love. You're glued together. You become one flesh. You enter into a covenant relationship. Oh, I would I could get that into the minds of young men and young ladies. You know, we've just watched how the world has changed over the last several years and how we've accepted all kinds of immorality and sexual perversion. And you know where it all started? When we allowed the home life to fall apart. But that brings up something else. What joy can come to the heart of a person that obeys the Lord? You ever thought of the joy of being a child of God? You ever thought of the joy of being a Christian? You know, it's a joy to be a member of the Lord's church and to know that I've been redeemed from my sin. What a privilege to be called a child of God. What a joy. When you read the Philippian letter in your own study, just go through and underscore the word joy. And Paul is writing that from a Roman prison, and he's letting the people know there's great joy in being a child of God. We can learn from the city of Bethlehem. There'll be sorrow in life. There's love in life. And as a Christian, there's joy in life. Let us all remember the lessons from the city of Bethlehem. Thank you for studying with me this evening.